another great video, and I love Kevin's attitude in that, basically just saying, like, where can I help? Like, what can I do? Where are the biggest needs? And I'll just jump in and help out. And we've been showing these videos over the last few weeks to show people in our community serving and living out their faith. And I think that one's great because it shows, like, you don't have to go to a foreign country. You don't have to go undertake some huge, you know, massive plan to change the world. I mean, if God's leading you to do that, great, go do that. But it can also be as simple as just saying, hey, I'll volunteer like once a month and I'll teach kids about God because that's important too. And that's significant too. And yet that requires time. It requires intentionality. It requires just saying, hey, I'm willing to do that. And when we do that, as we've learned, James says, that's living out your faith. Like, that's not just hearing and believing, but that's actually going and doing something. That's faith that actually makes a difference in the real world. So, tonight, we're going to jump back into James. And before we do that, we're 4 weeks, so we're halfway through the series. We're 4 weeks in. We have four more weeks to go in the book of James. You guys excited about James still? All right. That's kind of a weird question. You shouldn't be excited about James. But here's the deal. Let me just say this real quick before we jump back in. I feel like it's been a little heavy at times. I feel like it's been heavy hitting for the last few weeks. I felt a little bit like angry preacher up here sometimes. In fact, after the first week, the first sermon a few weeks ago, someone said to me after, they said, man, you killed me tonight. And I'm like, I didn't. James killed. Like, I didn't do it. And then last week, after the service, someone said, man, after that sermon, I feel like I need to take a shower. Like, isn't that funny? I thought it was, like, is that a compliment? I don't know. I hope so. I'm not sure. But honestly, it's true. Like, I feel like as we've been reading through this book and reading these words, like, it's been pretty convicting, like, for me too, and just heavy hitting. And part of that, I think, is because James is like a pastor. Like, so he wrote this letter to this group of people, and I think they were a lot like us, and he sees us like a pastor would. And he cares so much about us and what's going on in our lives. And he sees so many things about our faith and our lives that are just average or just mediocre. And he knows God wants so much more for us that he just feels like he needs to really push us like a good pastor should. But I think it's also because James is partly like a prophet. In fact, his writing style sometimes, as we've read it, is more like the Old Testament prophets than anyone else. And so I think he knows that in order to help people like live better, in order to help people, you know, start to think about their faith, sometimes we get so locked in to our own way of doing things. Sometimes we get so locked into our own patterns and our own habits that the only way to get someone's attention is to just like get right in their grill and shake them up and wake them up. And I think that's what James does in this book. And so for us here, like, we don't want to ignore that. There's times to read parts of Scripture that are very encouraging. There's times where we read and talk about parts of Scripture that are very comforting and reassuring. And then there's also times where Jason or me or Stephen or, you know, one of us will get up here and we'll read Scripture and talk about passages of Scripture that are really challenging and really convicting. And we think that's actually healthy and that's good. So we've got four more weeks and I hope you will hang in there. So with that in mind, let's jump back into James chapter 3. If you want to turn there, you can. It's in your pew Bible. It's in the black pew Bibles on page 848. And before we get to chapter 3, you might remember in the very beginning of this letter, this guy wrote this letter, and so we're reading it and trying to understand what he said and see how it maybe applies to our lives. And you might remember he said this, this one thing in the very beginning in chapter 1, verse 19, he said, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak. And I think when we hear that and see that, we can all probably agree. We can say, yeah, slow to speak would be good. Because we can probably all think of times when we wish we had been a little more slow to speak. In fact, you might be able to think of a specific situation in your past where you totally stuck your foot in your mouth, and you were talking with someone, and the exchange got heated, or you said something, and it finally got to a point where you started to say something, and it's almost like as the words were coming out, you knew you shouldn't say them, but like you still did, and it's like you couldn't control it, and it's like you could see yourself saying it, saying, no, don't say that, but you did. And then the minute you said it, you could see the look on their face, or you could see like the pain or the hurt that you caused. And it was in that moment like you realize, yeah, words are really, really powerful. Because words shape all of our conversations with one another. Words shape all of our friendships and all of our relationships. Words shape our families, what we say to one another, what we say to our kids, what our parents have said to us. Some of our greatest joys in life come when we say certain words or when some people have said words to us. And some of our greatest regrets and mistakes in life have come when we've said some words or other people have said some words to us. And so I think it's in light of that that James says, look, in light of the tremendous power of words, we need to be really slow to speak them. And then he decides to come back to this same idea, and he camps out on it a little bit more. And that's what we're going to read tonight. And so he says in chapter 3, starting in verse 1, he says, not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. Now, at first glance, this maybe doesn't have anything to do with that, but basically what he's saying is, anytime you stand up and talk to other people in some sort of teaching capacity, there's a greater responsibility or weight. Like, you're going to have to give an account for that, which is super convicting. You know, anytime I stand up and talk, like, there's a greater responsibility, basically because I'm saying a bunch of words to people, and these words could have a tremendous influence. And so that goes for anybody in any kind of teaching setting, not because of any kind of authority or anything like that, but just by the fact that you're speaking words to other people, you have the capacity to influence them. And so there's going to be a bigger deal behind that. He goes on, he gets a little more specific. Verse 2, he says, we all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. Now, this is an interesting statement because James says, look, we all stumble in a lot of ways. To which we're like, yeah, of course. Like, nobody's perfect. We all do silly and bad things all the time. Like, we stumble in lots of ways. And he says, look, anyone who's able to not stumble in the words they say, like, if you're able to never stick your foot in your mouth, if you're able to always say the right thing, if anytime you're ever talking to anyone else, if you're able to always speak the right words, he says, well, man, you'll never stumble then. Like, you've arrived. Like, you'll be perfect. Perfect. And then he says, because if you can do that, you're able to keep your whole body in check. In other words, there's something special about these words that determines something, that influences something, that influences our lives in such a way that if we can just be careful with what we say and we can always say the right thing, well, then it'll make our lives like perfect. I mean, it'll make our lives so much better. It'll determine the course of our lives in such a way that everything will be great. He goes on, he says, let me tell you why I believe this. Verse 3, when we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Now, sort of a strange turn here, but he basically says, let me just give you an example. Think about a horse. How many horse people? Do we have any horse people? I'm not one of them, so we don't have any horse people. Okay, let's just skip this verse then. No. So he says, think about it. Oh, we have one back here somewhere. All right. So, Kate. All right. So think about a horse. It can be a little horse. It can be a big horse. But either way, a horse, all you have to do is put a bit into the mouth of a horse. And you can take that bit and then direct anywhere the horse goes. So it doesn't matter how big the horse is. The point is the bit is really small compared to the whole horse. And so if you can just get a bit into the horse's mouth, you can direct the horse to go anywhere you want the horse to go. He goes on, next verse, verse 4. He says, or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. So in that day, he would have said, think of a really big ship, and those would have ships would have had really big masts with sails, and it was the wind that pushed them. But for us, think about a cruise ship. Think about a battleship. And he says, it's the rudder that actually steers the ship. And the rudder, compared to the ship, is really, really small. Like, it might be big compared to us, but compared to the entire ship, the rudder is actually tiny. It's almost insignificant. And yet, somehow, this one little rudder can steer the course and the direction of this huge ship. And then he says, verse 5, likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. That is, the tongue is really small in comparison to our whole body, but just like a bit in the mouth of a horse can direct the whole horse, and just like a rudder for a ship can direct the course of the ship, our tongue and the words we speak can direct our whole body. It can direct our whole lives. It makes a huge difference, this one little part of our body. In fact, he says, it makes the tongue, it makes great boasts, which is an odd choice of words. When we hear boast, we think like bragging, that kind of boasting, but that's not what he meant. He just meant, it has a great influence. It can do great things. Like, the tongue can make, like in the words we speak, what comes out of our mouth, it can do great things in our lives. And when you think about it, it's true. I mean, your words, they determined the kind of friends you had growing up, right? I mean, your words and the words your parents spoke to you determined the kind of relationship you had with your parents and with your family growing up. Your words might have gotten you into the kind of school you wanted to get into. Your words might have gotten you the kind of job you wanted to get. It might have determined the kind of career path you chose. If you're married, your words may have won over your wife or your husband. If you're married, your words were the defining part of the ceremony that sealed your marriage. If you're a good salesperson, your words can make you a lot of money. If you're a good negotiator, your words can get you out of a speeding ticket, right? Or other kinds of trouble. I mean, if you're a good communicator, your words can determine what kind of job you take. If you're really good at giving compliments, your words can determine what your friendships, what your relationship with your boss might look like. And I could go on and on and on, but the truth is, our words, when you begin to think about it, truly do determine the course of our lives. And so what James is saying is, look, if you could ever get control of your words, if you could ever just get control of your tongue, if you could ever control this thing, well, then your life would be what? Well, it'd be perfect. And I think that's good news for all of us, wherever you are on your journey of faith. I mean, you don't even have to be a Christian to buy this. Like, you don't even have to believe in Jesus, and you can say, yeah, I think this guy James is probably right. Like, it's true. Like, I would love to be more successful in life. I would love to be able to control my life. I would love to be able to control the direction and the course of my life a little bit more. And yeah, he's probably right. If I could control my words, like if I could control what I say and always say the right thing, then yeah, that would probably make me a lot more successful. I could probably be a lot more happy. I could probably determine what my relationships and my family looks like at home. It could change our lives. And yet James doesn't stop there. Because words don't just have the potential to do amazing things in our lives in terms of determining the direction and course of our lives. James knows that words also have a huge negative potential as well. Look at what he says at the end of verse 5. He says, consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. In other words, imagine what just one little match, one little fire could do. So I take this, and I could put this anywhere in this building, and I could light that curtain on fire, and I could eventually burn the whole building down, and maybe burn the whole block down if I wanted, all from just this one little fire, this one little spark. If you've been living in Colorado very long, you know that one little spark, one little match, one little fire can burn an entire forest down. It can do irreparable damage. And then look at what James says next. Verse 6, the tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body and sets the whole course of one's life on fire and is itself set on fire by hell. Now, this is where James gets hardcore. He says, look, the tongue is also a fire and it can do so much damage and destruction and evil and sin and just, it can do so much in the course of your life. Because you start to think about it, losing your temper usually begins with words, right? Rage begins with words. Adultery, cheating on someone, usually begins with words. Murders have happened over words. Wars have been initiated just by our words. And James says, look, there is no amount of evil. It's like a world of evil that you can do with just this one little part of your body. And I think we all would probably agree with him. Because the truth is, you could go home tonight and you could get on the phone and you could call someone up, and with just a few words, you could ruin a friendship. With this microphone on right now, with just a few words, I could ruin my reputation. With this microphone on, with just a few words, I could ruin your reputation if I wanted to start a rumor about you. And with just a few words you share with a friend, with a spouse, with a roommate, you could destroy a relationship. See, our words have the potential to do so much damage in our lives. And the picture that James gives here, it's kind of in the Greek, it's hard to see, but it's almost like of a tire that you would set on fire on top of a hill, and then you'd roll it down to the hill into a village, and everything that it brushes against, it would begin to set a fire until eventually the whole village or the whole city is just on fire. And he says, it all can begin with just our words. Now, probably all of us already knew that, because some of you might could raise your hand tonight and say, yeah, I knew that because somebody has burned me pretty bad with their words. Like, my dad used to burn me with his words. Or my mom used to burn me with their words. Or I've got a friend or someone in my family or someone close to me, and they still, man, they don't know it, they don't understand it, but they burn me sometimes with their words. And some of us have the scars and the wounds that we could show of being burned by other people's words. And yet the truth is, a lot of us could probably also raise our hand and say, yeah, and I've done a little burning myself. I've ruined a friendship over something I said one time. Or I've ruined a job opportunity over something I said one time. Or I've ruined a marriage over things that I've said. And James says, look, there's really no excuses. It's not like, well, sometimes we say things, and sometimes we just need to be honest, and they didn't really understand, and it's not what I meant. It's like, no. Our words can do a world of evil. And this one little part of our body, it's just like a fire, and you cannot control it. And he goes on, and look at what he says next in verse 7. It says, all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. In other words, we've been able to tame every animal on earth. Like, think about it. There's really no animal on earth that poses any major threat to any of us, right? I mean, we can put animals in aquariums, we can put them in zoos, we can put them behind cages, we can protect ourselves from any, we can tame pretty much any animal, but he says, no, you can't tame the tongue. Like, it is untamable, and you never know, because it's like it's full of poison, and you could always unleash that poison on other people. He goes on in verse 9, and he says, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. In other words, our tongues, they're uncontrollable, they're untamable, and they're unpredictable. Like, we can come to church and we can sing songs and we can talk about how great God is and how much we worship Jesus and all those things. And then we can go out and we're like cursing people in our cars on the way home. Or we head to work tomorrow morning and it's so easy to just gossip about people or talk behind their back just with our words. And it's like he's going, look, it doesn't make sense. How can we be this way over here and talk about how great God is with our words? And then over here, we're talking about how terrible people are that are made in God's image with our words. To which point, I think it's kind of like, okay, we give up, James. Like, what's the answer? So, okay, yeah. Our words are terrible. Our tongues are evil. Like, everything we could possibly say could be horrible, and we could start like all kinds of fires and poison and all that. Okay, what do we do like about this, James? Like, what's the answer? What's the solution? Like, give us the 1, 2, 3. Like, you know what? He changes the subject. We're not even going to read the next verses because they talk about something totally different. Like he just moves on and starts talking about something totally different. To which it's like, well, wait a second. There's no solution? Like, you just told us how terrible our words are and how much damage we can do with them. And then what do we do with that? So I was reading this passage and thinking about it. It reminded me of a guy that I used to work with. So after college, I went and worked on a ranch in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. And I worked there for about 5 months. And I worked with a guy named AR. And worked and lived with him. We lived in the same bunkhouse. And AR was as cowboy as they come. Like, he was one of the horse wranglers. And he would wear, so he had like this little thin mustache, you know, like curled up on the sides. And he smoked Marlboro Reds. And he wore Wranglers that are, you know, pressed with the line down. Anyone done that in here? You know, come on. Some of you have, I know. And he also wore the big boots, but not on the inside, on the outside that you pull up with the big mule straps. And he would always wear a long sleeve shirt, even if it's 90 degrees outside. He's wearing a long sleeve shirt and a big bright colored scarf and a cowboy hat. And he spoke like real softly, and he didn't say much. But whenever he talked, it was like really wise, you know. And he was like the Marlboro man. This was AR. This is who I worked with. And so he also carried a gun with him everywhere. And that wasn't too uncommon. He was one of the horse wranglers, and so they went riding out in the forest and out in the mountains a lot. And in that area, there's bison, and there's moose, and there's bears. And if you ever sneak up on one by accident, like, they can charge you, and it can be pretty serious. And so most of them carried guns. And he carried a gun, But the gun he carried was literally this old-timey, like, six-shooter. And it was on a holster, kind of hanging down on the side. I mean, he looked like the sheriff of the town. And it was hanging down on the side, and it was this old-timey six-shooter. So I was talking to him one day, and he pulled it out, and he showed it to me, and it was, like, loaded and ready to shoot. And I'm like, AR, like, why are you carrying around a loaded, like, ready-to-shoot gun? Do you always carry it around loaded like that? Yeah. You mean every time I've seen you with this gun, riding or just like eating cookies in the dining hall, like you've got this gun loaded, like ready to shoot at any minute on the side? Yeah. Isn't that dangerous? Like, aren't you scared that something's going to happen with this gun there? Like, aren't you worried that like an accident's going to happen and it's going to go off at some point, or you're going to... And I'll never forget, he looked back and he said, you know what, Norton? Accidents only happen with weapons that people think are unloaded. Accidents only happen with weapons that people think are unloaded. You see, AR always kept his gun loaded because he knew if he kept it loaded and he knew it was loaded, he would always be super careful with it. And he knew that people had accidents with guns when they were handling them or when they were playing with them, when they thought they were unloaded, but they really were loaded. But for him, if he knew it was always loaded at his side, he would always treat it with the utmost care and never let an accident happen because he knew he was carrying around a loaded weapon. I think that's what James is trying to tell us. I think he's trying to plant deep within our minds and our hearts, look, you are carrying around a loaded weapon. Everywhere you go, you have the capacity, simply in the words you speak, to do so much damage. And if you don't wake up every single day and say, God, I realize today I'm carrying around like this loaded weapon in the words I speak. And every time I open my mouth and every time I say something to someone else, I could do some serious damage. And so today, before I open my mouth every time, I'm just going to remember I need to probably be really slow to speak and watch the words that I say. I think that's what James is trying to encourage us to do. And so maybe the only thing we can do is be mindful of that. And maybe the only thing we can do is get ready to say these words a whole lot. I'm sorry. Like maybe the real lesson is, the truth is, you're going to make mistakes. Like you're carrying around this loaded weapon and it's going to go off. As good as you get and as much as you try to recognize that. And so you better get really good at learning how to say these words. I'm sorry. Because you see, those two words, just like some words have the power to really hurt people, those two words have the power of healing. And so maybe the question to ask just for all of us before we close is this. Is there anybody in our lives that we need to go to and just say, you know what, I realize last week I burned you with some words. And I'm sorry. Is there a roommate, maybe, that you need to go to and say, I'm sorry for what I said? Is there somebody in your family, a friend, maybe somebody at work tomorrow morning that you've been avoiding since that little confrontation that maybe you just need to go straight to them first thing at work tomorrow and say, I'm sorry. And you don't need to make excuses. You don't need to say, well, let me be honest. I was just trying to say this, or I tried to meant that, or, you know, you really deserved it, or, you know. I mean, no. Just, I'm sorry. And then maybe followed up with, will you forgive me? Is there anybody in your life? Because I think if we've got the courage to go and do that, and if we've got the courage to wake up every day and say, okay, James, I'm going to remember, I'm carrying around a loaded weapon today, and I want to be so careful with it. I think if we do that, then that could be one of the most tangible ways we actually live out our faith. That could be one of the most practical things every single day as we try to live out our faith and have a faith that actually lives in the real world. Let me close this in a word of prayer. God, thank you for these words of James, and thanks for just all the imagery that he provides us. And help us and help me to remember that our words, we can't always control them and we can't always tame them. And it's easy for us to worship you and praise you with words and then to go out and just use them in ways that aren't good and aren't healthy. And so, God, I pray that this week you would give us all the courage to wake up each morning and just intentionally, maybe just take a minute to ask you to help us with our words and to ask you to help us to be slow to speak this week so that whenever we do open our mouths, whenever we do speak words, they're words of encouragement, or they're words of healing, or they're words of blessing. Lord God, I pray that for just this community and these people here, for all of us, you would help us to really take this to heart just in our relationships with one another. We want to honor you, and we want to be people who really bear out who you are and the kind of love and grace and acceptance that you've shown to each of us. And so I pray that you'll help us to show that to one another, especially in the words we speak. Thanks for this teaching from James. And thank you for just hanging in there with us, even when we stumble and even when we do fail. We pray all this in your name. Amen. All right. Well, that's it for tonight. So it was good to see everyone here. And we'll have a good day tomorrow for Labor Day. And we'll see you next week.